We're recording.
Let's
Hello,
go.
Val.
Hello.
Hello, Walter.
First thing before we start talking, you've been shopping. There's
new
a
mics.
New mic.
You know, how do you like our new mics? The other ones were cool.
Yeah.
But a lot of people commented that sometimes the sound is not perfectly ideal. And I want to make it perfectly ideal for you guys out there to have the best listening experience we can possibly have, because our podcast will be sometimes in and out of situations. For example, now we're meeting in front of the elevator.
Yes.
Of your hotel.
But these chairs are kind of sick.
Yeah, we have king and queen. No, it's both king.
Yeah.
Or both queen chairs.
Yeah, these are massive chairs. But yeah, we always, you know, we do lots of stuff. Sometimes time is limited, so we got to find out solutions.
Yeah, and
because I didn't really want to disturb Tiffany jumping into the shower and stuff in my room. So, you know, yeah. She's now doing a laundry run.
Yeah.
Because we don't do hotel laundry.
You don't?
No.
Why not?
I don't want to do it because for the same price of washing my underwear or socks or t-shirts, I could buy new ones.
In hotels?
Yeah. Which is, you know, it's a practical reason. You get it?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. It's interesting that you're sometimes German, Preis-Leistungs-Verhältnis. You know, like you are, or Swabian. We had
Scottish, yeah. Big tight.
Scottish are you're saving money?
That's what I think.
I personally believe, and that's where we differ, I like spending money.
I like spending too, but on things that make sense, you know.
For example, our microphones.
Well,
It's a new company. And look at, like, I saw them in the internet and then I geeked a little bit into them. They sound good. It's called Heiser, man. So there's a German heritage to it. They look amazing, I think. They make them handmade. It's limited editions. I have number 9. You have which
19.
Number? 19?
No, sorry. 248.
Oh, okay.
It's type 19, number 248.
I think mine is newer, so I have the better. I'm sorry. I had to, you know, I have to do everything to keep up with you, some sort of. So maybe I have the better mic.
Yeah, I like this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you have to put it very close to your mouth. So it's a
very close
ASMR. And people are very close to me. That's my podcast voice. Welcome to What's Next, the podcast, The Life of Valtteri Bottas and Paul Ripke. There's a lot of things we skipped last week. We're back. There's a lot of things I want to talk about. Like, let's start with your journey. You, once again, and it's kind of a repetitive story all of a sudden, but you were in Bahrain. Next stop is Australia. Tiny little...
little bit kind of a detour. But I made it like one-way trip in the end. I kept going the same direction on the globe.
Okay.
So I kept going west. So Bahrain testing finished. All good. Actually very good last 2 days. The only thing is our simulator is in Charlotte, which I think we might have spoke before.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it was, again, a few days of the aliens, if they exist, looking at me, what the hell are you doing? I drove circles in Bahrain. Then I took travels to Charlotte, North Carolina.
But that's an easy international. There is a Bahrain-Charlotte direct flight.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No,
no. It was, two-stopper, I think 32 hours of traveling. Short night in Charlotte, then full day in the city.
A good hotel in Charlotte?
Was, oh. You know, I got to this hotel and there was like late night in Charlotte after 32 hours of traveling.
Yeah.
And yeah, of course, you're a little bit confused anyway because of the kind of travel and time difference. And there was some meeting of bikers, like motorbikers. And
like, dude, that they had jackets with...
Yeah, lots of leather.
And was it banditos or Hells Angels?
Neither of those.
Okay.
Something
but off
unique.
North Carolina or South Carolina?
And on top of that, I don't know. On top of that, there was meeting of people who like costumes. I don't know if I mentioned to you. I saw that in the morning.
What?
Yeah, so in the morning, I had a quick breakfast, my eggs and bacon. And one guy walked to the breakfast restaurant with a mask off, a hog, you know, like a pig, but, you know, like a wild pig mask, what? Like full face thing. And then there was more people coming with different costumes and stuff like that. Anyway.
But did you talk to somebody? Because like if a biker, a Formula One driver and a costume guy meet at breakfast at the waffle station. Was it one of those hotels where you have like waffle stations that turn as like American culture?
Yeah, yeah.
And then like a little bit of small talk. What is it you do?
No, I did say good. I said good morning, but I let people be who they are and with their people. So all good. Then yeah, had a day in the simulator, very productive. Rushed to the airport, and then flight to Australia. Charlotte, LA, which is like just under 6 hours.
Uh-huh.
LA, Sydney, which is just over 15 hours, and then there's this great terminal transfer in Sydney from international to domestic.
I missed my flight the last time there.
Mm. But now I got some help. I got some local help.
What's the local help?
They offer services at the airport security, people who work for security at the airports. For a certain fee, you can get help to get quicker from international to domestic. If your
flight your flight.
I made my flight and my bags came. And
you know how that problem solving is called in the US?
No.
Throw money at the problem.
Yeah. Yeah. Like new mics.
Yeah.
Correct. Yeah.
I buy new mics so we sound better. Like imagine you would have, after that's a 60-hour plus flight, interrupted by a simulator session,
yep.
But at the end you were constantly on the road, and then the very last one to Adelaide, you miss the connection, your bags are somewhere and everything. Did you fly with a bike too?
No, I didn't this time because I had bikes in Adelaide.
Your logistics. I mean, we had that yesterday when we loaded the pickup truck. Boy, it's so much stuff. Like you guys being cyclists is really a lot of stuff.
Yes, it is. It's sometimes hard. But again, like today example, there was a small issue with my bike here in Melbourne.
Yeah.
The derailleur hanger on the bike, there's a small bolt that keeps it in the frame. That was gone. Like during travels, it disappeared, vanished. So yeah, but luckily I found some local help. Bike shop.
How do you do that? Like, do you then Google bike shop Melbourne or?
Well, I have a partnership with Canyon Bikes and with SRAM, and they know globally where are the points of help.
Yeah.
And I just reached out to SRAM and they immediately responded, okay, this is the guy, that's the bike shop, go there. So I got it sorted and then I got my ride in this morning. And again, it was worth traveling with the bike, even though it feels a bit painful at times.
Okay. No, I understand it. I mean, I went to Florida. We were not so far apart. This Find My thing is really growing on me that I constantly see that I see you around where you are, and we were pretty close when you were in South Carolina or North Carolina.
Yeah, true.
I was in Florida doing some directing, some content.
Yeah, so you went there, you went home after Bahrain, right?
Correct.
Yeah, yeah. So a bit of time at home and then...
Correct. Yeah. Spent some time, celebrated my birthday.
Happy birthday again.
Did get a Nintendo Switch 2. To my birthday. And I think you were part of the reason, because you told my 7-year-old that you liked playing Mario Kart with him on Christmas break so much that you thought about getting one. And to be fully transparent, he's 8-year-old, Tate, believes that you are the most rich person in the world, like richer than Mr. Beast in his mind.
Yeah.
And he does not comprehend why you don't buy yourself a Nintendo Switch 2. That's like, he doesn't understand.
Yeah. I think I should. I've just been busy with other stuff. But yeah, sometimes long flights would be nice to play a bit of Mario Kart, right? Yeah.
I play golf. Okay. Because like, you know, I never got you into golf, but I'm also 8 years older than you. So and there's this saying, people who play golf don't have sex anymore. Oh, somebody's coming at the elevator.
Yeah, and our table is in front of the elevator.
Yeah, let's see what happens now. This is something you don't like, right?
No.
Situations where
I hate causing issues. Hello, sorry.
My friend.
Sorry.
We're recording.
Podcast
Mr. Verstappen, how are you?
Good.
Is life good?
Any big news?
Yeah. Is alles gut im Leben?
Yeah.
I
like the setup here.
Yeah?
It's not bad, right?
You want to say hello to our podcast viewers? Just, yeah.
Hello, everyone. In German, in Deutsch,
is we out
Deutsch?
Yeah,
nein.
Klein.
Yeah, enjoy. See you at the track.
Hope sorry, you didn't miss the lift.
No, we stole your elevator.
Yeah.
That's all right.
Sorry.
Sorry.
So, expectations of the weekend? Or is that not in this podcast?
In this podcast, we only talk about the past. Even though it's called What's Next, but we just talk about the last week. So.
Okay. How was your
but
past?
Let's see.
It was okay.
Life
right.
is okay.
See you, mate.
See you, mate.
See you. Yeah. So golf is something I really like, and it's my passion. It's a bit your cycling is my golf. So last week in Florida, I was directing. It's the same thing I do over here. So content needs some sort of direction, I believe, because a lot of people just create content. They are reactive to whatever has been thrown at them, some events, some whatever. And then there's a recap, there's a video, but nobody, or some people do. That's the good content that has a story. They direct, they have a goal. Why are they creating a content? So a golf brand hired me to create content with Brooks Koepka, for example.
Yeah.
Do you know who that is?
No.
Do you know who Keegan Bradley is?
No.
Yeah, they're relevant golfers,
okay.
Like legit good golfers. And I think they trust me the way you trust me regarding content, you know. And sometimes, I mean, part of partnerships is content. So you, for example, are sponsored by several companies. And sometimes you have the obligation to create a video or a photo.
Yeah.
And normally you throw that at me.
Exactly.
And then I come up with something like the sauna yesterday, you know?
Yeah.
Like some sort of it's let's create a little bit more than just, hey, buy this.
Exactly.
And if you create something, because you care about a sauna, so I try to make you care about your what does it mean to you, you know, like, and it's your recovery tool, it's your happy place, it's where you are by yourself. So we did not only do an ad for Javier sauna, this is a great sauna, we tried to tell a story of your feelings about saunaing
in a short video.
Correct.
And it's quite simple in the end.
35 seconds.
Yeah.
And it worked. It has 1 million views today after 24 hours
and growing.
Yeah. So stuff is really, like, it's good. Another person is coming. Now on the right side. Who do you think this is now?
I think...
Hello.
Hello. This is, I think, the staff elevator.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you think there's different? No.
I think so. I've only got these two, so yeah. I never got that one. So it must be a staff elevator.
Okay.
Anyway.
I had a good week in Florida, and I did that, and that's... My life is a third of that. And a bit of, you know, I have my partners, which is Whoop, which is Yasio. Sorry, guys. We're a little bit in your way. Which is Whoop, which is Yasio. Like my partners, my influencing stuff. I have a third you in my life. And then I have a third of Mercedes, where I do the content direction of the racing.
So relatively busy.
I have a pretty busy 2026. I arrived into Motorsport Week, and that's something I want to... And a motorsport festival.
Adelaide Motorsport Festival.
Sorry.
Yeah. And this was your third trip to Australia this year, like mine.
Yeah. I like it here.
Yeah.
You know, one thing I realized is every single Australian is nice. They're friendly. Even the woman that tries to figure out parking on, like, you know, in front of the airport where people, even she's nice in Adelaide.
Mm, true.
They're not yelling at you. They're not screaming at you. I really enjoy that. That's why I love Australia.
Me too. If you ask me. That's one of the things why I love Australia.
And coffee culture. You said it. Oh, very yeah. True.
It's so hard to find average coffee. It's always
everything
good.
Everything is good.
Yeah.
Today, do you know Specht Design, the guy that builds those coffee machines?
Yep.
He's a friend of mine, and I asked him, what is, because he builds these crazy coffee machines. He lives and loves coffee, espresso, and all of it. So I said, what is the best coffee we can possibly have over here? Now it's getting...
Sorry, it's okay. You can
pass in the bag. We're sorry that we're in your way.
No, yeah, that's totally it's our right. problem. Thank you.
We are in
Thank
your you. Way. I really love how you don't like that at all, right?
No.
Like I kind of, for me, it's okay. But for you, this is out of your comfort zone.
Mm, yeah.
Sitting here in a king chair.
Disturbing the staff, you know. Anyway. How many minutes we have left? Not many. Maybe 10 minutes left. Specht Design.
Specht Design told me to go to a coffee discipline or discipline roasters or something and said this is by far the best and craziest coffee place of Melbourne. And I mean, if Melbourne, like where the coffee is already, every corner is great. So I went there. So first of all, it's two places. It's on the right side, it's black, painted, and it's only black coffee.
Okay.
So you can only get pour over or espresso, but
yeah.
Now no milk involved, which is on the left side where different shop, different painted white, and there you can get a flat white.
Okay. Yeah.
So that's
pretty
parts
cool.
of me were like, is this racist to separate
coffee with or without milk? Yeah.
Like, is that something? Let's not go there. But I went first to have a flat white on the left shop, which was spectacular. Best flat white I've ever had.
That's a big call.
Yeah.
Okay.
It really was spectacular.
I'll be going there tomorrow morning then.
Yeah. Very Japanese. So I think it's Japanese people who run it. So very, very detail driven.
Almost like science based, right?
Yeah, science based. And they have they had 8 huge grinders. And an insane machine also. And this is only the milk place, which probably is the place that real coffee people disgrace milk drinking people, right?
Okay,
like they say
yeah,
the real people do...
They don't do milk.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I went afterwards to have a cup of coffee. And I asked, so what do you have? And they had a long menu of different cups of coffee. And there was one cup of coffee that had the price of $108. So I was like, is this a machine? Is this, am I buying? No, it's one cup of coffee because it's fermented. Probably some animal has eaten it and digested it and it's fermented again, probably, or whatever happened. But it's by far on the menu, the most expensive cup of coffee I've ever seen in my life.
For sure.
So I went for it.
And?
I said, yes, let's go.
How was it?
So first of all, it took very long.
How long?
25 to 30 minutes.
No
it's
way.
It's a long...
Long process, okay.
Long process. Okay. I was not allowed to film the process. I was not allowed to take any pictures inside.
First time I've heard that.
They didn't like that, which I respected, obviously.
Yep.
And then it comes in a wine glass. And then I tried to drink it like a wine. So you smell it first, you put it in your mouth, you let the palate kind of... it was a cup of coffee.
So it wasn't quite worth it. Like, you can get a great cup of coffee easily under 10 Australian dollars.
Yeah, or 2. And now the power went off.
Yeah, but we're back.
We're back.
We're back.
Yeah. We talked a bit without recording about the fact that you can't totally... I think, did you miss the fact that you're a full-on F1 driver, including several event appearances. Like, it's now Wednesday and you're doing already 5 events, I think, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then tomorrow it's press. So you're going to do 420 interviews and content and everything.
Repetitive interviews.
Yeah. Same questions?
Normally.
Are you excited?
Yeah. I kind of forgot about this thing at testing. I was all excited. I'm still excited. I'm a race driver. But yeah, like you said, even before, I haven't been even at the track. On Thursday, I've done 5 sponsor events. I've met hundreds of fans, which has been all positive. But it's getting more challenging to move around. I think you noticed, like, especially on the race week in a city. Like,
everybody, like, you move out of the hotel and there's 100 people, of which 100 people know who you are, because you are probably, I mean, sure, Piastri is probably the Australian native, but you are an adopted Aussie, I would say.
Everyone keeps saying that, which is nice. I definitely take it.
Right?
Yeah.
But they really love you.
I feel it. I feel the love.
But in the hotel lobby, for example, like, you can't properly move. Like, it's 80, 90 kids who are following you, and you're losing 25 minutes. Like, yesterday we arrived and you lost 25 minutes because that's one thing. Like, you're too nice also. Like, you can't say no.
Yeah.
And you're sitting there, and then you, the moment you look into the eyes of the people, you can't say no. Lewis was like that too.
Mm.
And it still is like that. Like, it's to be too nice turns into 25 minutes of going from a car to your room, which is simply not possible if you have another event, which was the case yesterday.
Yeah.
Like, you had
back-to-back
an appointment.
Stuff, yeah.
People were waiting for you.
Yeah. So sadly, that's why I can't always please everyone. I hope people understand that. I try, but sometimes you gotta go.
You gotta go.
Sometimes you gotta go.
I have one last thing I want to talk about is, did you get your sleep rhythm properly, like a good way?
Here.
I mean, I
have to say, the crazy travels that I had, I didn't really have any jet lag issues.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a good sleeper.
Yeah. And you always sleep until 9 a.m., right?
If I can, yeah. Like, today, alarm was at 9 and slept. Easily.
Perfect.
Went to bed just after 11, so got just under 10 hours.
Nice.
Yeah.
And in Adelaide, same thing?
Adelaide, we had a little bit earlier mornings. There was one morning anti-doping woke me up. Well, you woke me up.
I'm so sorry for that. But I've
thank you for that. I mean, I could see you were sorry, but, you know, if you didn't wake me up, that would have been one strike. And if you get 3 strikes of missing doping test, that's same as failing a test. So thank you.
Did they test you they test you for enhancing, like?
It's the same WADA anti-doping rules as all the main sports. So
they did test you a lot after you went cycling with Lance Armstrong, right?
Yes. Yes. That was, I don't know if it was just weird
coincidence. Probably coincidence.
Yeah. But actually last year then I didn't really have barely any testing, but now I'm pretty sure they want to test all the F1 drivers before the first race.
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, it was a bit, I woke up from somebody knocking the door. I opened the door and then I was like, all of a sudden in this, like, I wanted to find out if this is real, because, like, do you have some sort of ID or something,
yeah.
And like he had a letter of FIA, and I was like, ah, okay, yeah, yeah. And then I went into your room and woke you up, and you were, and I was aware that this is 3 hours before you normally wake up. And your sleep is important. It's the race week. It's your last night in your own bed before we take off and everything. But on the other hand, I heard about this because I was around other athletes too that had the same situation, that you really have to take this serious. And it is good because they make sure that the sport is clean and nobody's cheating.
I think it's great.
But it does not work if you kind of say, hey, we're going to be there in 2 weeks. They have to be surprising visits. So you have to let them know where you are, or why did they know that? Because you were there 2 nights, right? at home? Like, how do they know that you're there?
I was more than 2 nights in Adelaide, because I got there Tuesday. I got there a few days before you.
Ah, yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, so we need to let them know for every night, always 3 months in advance, overnight stay address and 1 hour time slot per day where they can
every
get to
single
us.
Day.
Every single day.
But you don't know where you are in 3 months.
No. That's the thing with our calendar. It's pretty mad.
So you can change it.
You can change it. Okay. You can change it even on like the day before or something. So, but yeah, that's what we have to do for every night. They know where we are sleeping. They know when they can reach us for 1 hour. But if they can't reach us, that's a strike.
Did you ever get a strike?
I never got a strike.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this was also not a strike. It said everything was all right.
Exactly, yeah. And so it was only a urine test. Yeah.
Did he has to make sure that it's you peeing in there, right?
Like he's, of course.
He's there with you.
Yeah, he goes there with me in the toilet and they look that it is where it's coming from. And, you know, because in the past, you know, there were people in some sports, they got caught that they had some extra device for these urine tests. That they were actually not pouring their own urine, okay. But they had an extra pocket somewhere, you know. So
did he take videos?
I don't think they're allowed.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's the end of the privacy, which is nice.
Exactly.
Well, we gotta go.
I go events and then we get ready to race.
I put my Mercedes hat on, you put your Cadillac hat on, and then we meet again on Sunday night.
Yeah, it's actually an interesting weekend ahead. And then next week we can talk about how the first F1 race for Cadillac F1 team and for me being back went.
In the history of in Formula One.
Making history.
I'm the first content director.
That's
in the history
cool.
of Formula One. Not even closely as cool as you being the first ever driver of Cadillac. I'm 0.0001% of that.
But you don't have 5 place grid penalty.
Oh, I'm... Does, like, the closer it gets, does it annoy you a little?
Yeah, it does. But again, some things in life, there's nothing you can do about.
Sisu. I love the fact, like, what's real this episode is how awkward you, like, how much you don't want to sit here the moment you realize somebody is coming out of that elevator. Like, this might be the number one last thing you want to do is record something and be in the way of somebody getting out of the elevator.
We are never recording anymore in front of hotel lobby, in front of elevator.
We have a guest appearance from an F1 world champion.
That was actually our first guest.
Yeah, we have a guest.
Yeah.
Featuring.
What's his name again?
Max.
Max Verstappen. Yep.
There we go. See you next week.
See you next week.